Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. The word of God for the people of God.
I invite you to stand for our gospel reading. Our gospel reading is from the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. I'm reading verses 28 through 30. And you probably know these words if you've been coming to church for a while. This is my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But because you're so familiar with it, I thought I would read it from a different version, who puts it a little bit differently. This is from Eugene Peterson's version called The Message. Listen to these words. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together in this place. I pray that you will open our hearts and open our minds and open our spirits to hear you speak. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we're beginning a sermon series where we're going to address several topics we don't typically talk about in church. You know, it's as if we have our lives divided. There's the church side of things and then there's everything else. And so we've called this series The Rest of Life. It's based on this book by Dr. Ben Witherington, who was a professor of Pastor Bob's at Asbury Theological Seminary. And you can go to the class tonight where they'll be talking about this and the sermon series. And in the book, we talk about some of those things that we have separated out from our life with God. But we know that God is not concerned with just our spiritual side, just our Sunday selves, that God is concerned with all of our lives, even those things we don't normally talk about in church. And so we're going to bring up some of those for the next several weeks, and you need not be afraid. These things are simply, like next week, we're going to talk about how we play or how we eat and how we study and about sex. And today we're going to begin by looking at our rest, the rest that we take and that we need. And I want to begin this morning with a video clip. Take a look at this. Jesus is an artist by the name of Eric Breen, and this is his performance on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1969. YouTube is full of treasures. He is demonstrating what I call the ancient art of plate spinning, full spinning actually in this one. And it's something we don't see much of anymore, and you can see why. This is 59 seconds of a 3.5 minute clip, and it still feels far, far too long. But one of the reasons I think that plate spinning has gone away is, one, well, it's not that entertaining. Two, we don't have variety shows like Ed Sullivan on television anymore. And three, we're not that impressed because we do that every day. I mean, all of us have so much that we try to keep going all of the time that we're doing our own version of plate spinning. You probably don't have a stack of Corel plates in your basement and flexible sticks to spin them on, but you have bills to pay and groceries to buy and kids to get to practice and vehicles to maintain and a lawn and a garden that need your tender loving care. You have a parent who needs your time and attention. You have vacations to plan, side projects you'd like to accomplish, volunteer work, grandkids you want to visit, a committee or two here at the church, worship, laundry, pets, homework, and I haven't even gotten to work in school yet. And they come with a stack of plates each on their own. I mean, we have lots that we are doing, and we are fully aware of the limited amount of time in which we have to do it. People count on us. We have responsibilities and obligations, and so we are plate spinners. Now, you and I don't typically use the words plate spinning for what we're doing. We don't talk about keeping plates up. We talk about keeping balls in the air. Right, which is a metaphor to juggling, which I haven't done in a robe before, but I learned as a youth to juggle because it's fun and I still do it from time to time. And one of the things I like to do is people, usually kids, once in a while will ask me to teach them how to juggle. And it's really simple. I just tell them you just add a ball at a time, right? So if you start with one, this is pretty easy. And a lot of us can do this. We have one thing going on. It doesn't take a lot of concentration. It doesn't take a lot of work. And then you move to two, and that takes a little more work and a little more concentration. I remember my daughter, when I was teaching her, she got two and said, "Look, Dad, I'm juggling." And I said, "Until you have more balls than hands, you're not really juggling." Right? But then you get to where you get pretty proficient at doing three with some practice, you can juggle. Now, I will tell you, this is my limit. I know how to do four. Four, you do two with your right hand and two with your left. Whoops. But you do them at the same time. I can't do that. I know how to do it, but I can't. And five, I don't even know how to do. I mean, I can't even think of the pattern that gets five going. So there's a limit to what we can handle in juggling or in our lives. I mean, there's a place where it's just too much. There's so much we can do, but throw in that fourth or fifth ball and everything comes crashing down. The plates just hit the ground and we can't handle all that happens. You and I know what that's like. We've been at the brink of that crisis. Sometimes we'll even call it a breakdown. And as that crisis approaches, we find ourselves irritable, emotional, and really just exhausted. As I was researching this, I stumbled across an article this week that intrigued me because of its title. The title is this: "Exhaustion is not a status symbol." I love that. Exhaustion is not a status symbol. The article is an interview with Brené Brown, a professor at the University of Houston, who did a TED Talk a couple of years ago that you might be familiar with, where she talks about our busyness in a talk she calls "The Power of Vulnerability." Now, in this article from the Washington Post, she was talking about our busyness, our plate spinning, our juggling, and she said this about how we say we're crazy busy. She says, Crazy busy is great armor. It's a great way for numbing. What a lot of us do is that we stay so busy and so out in front of our life that the truth of how we're feeling and what we really need cannot catch up with us. I see it a lot, she continues. When I interview people and talk about their vacations, they talk about how they wound up checking emails and sitting on the beach with their laptops. And their fear is, if I really stopped and let myself relax, I would crater. Because the truth is, I'm exhausted. I'm disconnected from my partner, and I don't feel super connected to my kids right now. Ouch. I mean, that feels all too familiar. We fear idleness, because idleness will give us opportunity and time to reflect on what we're doing. It'll give us time to question, time to be afraid, time to wonder who we are without all of this stuff we have to do, whether what we're doing really matters at all. It would give us time to reflect on our relationships, which we might be afraid are not all we hope they are. It would free our minds to examine our lives, whether we're loved, and more. And so to block all of that out, we fill every moment of every day with something to do. In her TED Talk, Brown compares our busyness to a drug we use to numb inner feelings of inadequacy, our inability to measure up. We don't want to feel vulnerability, she says, or grief, or shame, or fear, or disappointment. So we stay busy. Our busyness numbs us to those feelings. But then she goes on to say, you cannot selectively numb emotion. You can't say, here's this bad stuff, I don't want to feel these, without numbing the other affects or emotions. So when we numb these bad feelings, we also numb joy, and we numb gratitude, and we numb happiness. Another author put it this way, busyness is a drug to keep me numb and a defense to keep me safe, and it works. But numb and safe aren't key words for the life I want to live. I want so much more than numb and safe. And in Scripture, Jesus says he wants so much more for us as well. John 10:10, Jesus says about his disciples, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Not just elongated, but I might have life abundant and full today, here and now. But us, oh, we settle. Irenaeus, an early Christian thinker and pastor, wrote this, the glory of God is humanity fully alive. Do you hear that? God's glory, what brings God glory, is you and I living life abundant and full. Not busy and numb and safe. We settle for exhausted. It's time to give up the drug of busyness and to move toward times of peace and rest. Because there's a rhythm to life. And when we're in that rhythm, things go much better for us. You heard that in the first scripture reading from Ecclesiastes 3, where there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. And that resonates with us. I mean, we know this passage of Scripture not just because the Birds turned it into a song in 1965, turn, 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 but because it resonates with us. We get this. We know, have experienced this, that life has these seasons of down and up and down and up, of good and bad, of struggle and of ease. And we know what it's like when we're in sync and out of sync with those rhythms. We know what it's like when there's too much busy and not enough rest. Ben Witherington, the author of that book, The Rest of Life, writes this. He says, the normal life cycle requires more than work and sleep. It also requires rest. And this isn't a new teaching that Witherington or Brown or even Ecclesiastes Solomon came up with there. This goes back to our roots. I mean, this goes back to in the beginning. If you open the very first page of the Bible and begin to read the creation story, one of the things that you will become fully aware of is that there's this pattern to creation. It begins with God telling us, or the author telling us, what God created on that day. And every day ends with the same refrain. There was evening and there was morning, the first, second, third, whatever day. And it appears exactly the same at the end of every day of creation, every single time. There's morning, or there's evening, and then there's morning, and that then is the end of the day. This is such an important part of the story that note what God creates first. The very first thing God creates is light. And some have said that God created light because he wanted to be able to see what he was doing the rest of the week. Well, that's really not what this is about. God creates light first for a higher purpose. See, even before he creates the sun, notably, that doesn't come till day four, God creates light on day one. And the reason is he separates morning from evening. There's then light and dark. There's day and there's night. And then God chooses to enter into that pattern of work during the day and rest at night. Now, God is God. God doesn't need to rest, right? God could have plowed through this and just kept going and worked all night and gotten it done. But God chooses instead to take a break at the end of every day. There's evening and there's morning, and that completes the day. It's as if God takes a moment to just sit back and relax. And there's a second refrain that is prevalent throughout this story. It shows up not quite as exactly throughout, but it says something along these lines. God saw that it was good. God makes light. God saw the light was good. God makes whatever, and God saw that it was good. And at the very end, we hear God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. What does God do with this time of rest? I mean, he's not resting to rejuvenate like we rest. He's resting to enjoy. I mean, God rests to look out on what he's made, to feel that sense of accomplishment if it were us, and to just revel in what's been done and enjoy it for a moment. God steps back and admires his work. God rests. Now, you and I were created in the image of God according to day six of this creation story, and so this is a pattern into which we too are to enter. We too are to be people of work and rest. And then at the end of the week, the Bible says this: on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And so this pattern is extended. The daily pattern has a weekly component to it. And the rest is extended during the day. There's not only nights for rest, but one day a week that is there for rest. Now, our tendency to forego this pattern is to our own detriment. Certainly, we could physically work 7 days a week, stopping only for a couple of hours of sleep every night. And those of us that are technologically wired in, we know just how 24/7 our work is. our email is at our bedside while our phone is charging. You could pick it up at 3 a.m. if you really want to, or the anxiety just builds and you feel you need to. You could right now be on your iPad shopping at Amazon.com if you wanted to, buying whatever you want. I mean, this is a 24/7 culture in which we live. There is always the ability to be doing something. But when we are, we're missing out on the way God created us. Sure, we could fill every hour with something and feel really productive in the process. But that would be settling for safe and numb rather than living a life that is abundant and full. You know, over the past several years, you've heard Pastor Bob and I talk quite a bit about resurrection, this resurrection that is to come when God's kingdom comes fully on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the things that we long for in that resurrection day is this time of rest, that there's just this Sabbath that we all get to enjoy as God rests with us. So we long for that day. But like everything else in the kingdom, we don't just wait for it. We can participate in it right here, right now, today. Again, Ben Witherington says this: "The idea of a day of rest is then seen as yet another type on earth of God's ultimate rest, which means not so much an absence of activity, though that is a component, but the presence of joy, a sense of fulfillment and completion." Notice throughout creation, God's rest isn't just a pause. It isn't just stopping. It's a rest filled with reflection on what has been accomplished, on enjoying it, and allowing ourselves to be fulfilled by what's been done. Oddly enough, that TED Talk person, Brené Brown, also addresses this type of rest. She writes, she says this in the article: "There, in our busyness, there's no stopping and celebrating or acknowledging accomplishments of anything. Instead of feeling pride or recognition for what we've done, what everyone is instead made to feel is, thank God I can get to the next thing on my list now." One thing, she continues, at work that I think really makes a difference is simply to stop, recognize, and offer feedback. Imagine someone who says, "Hey, I got the proposal done and I left it on Tom's desk." And the response is, "Great, the next thing we need to do is..." That conversation, she says, needs to stop. And the boss needs to say, "Sit down, let's talk about it. I'd love to see a copy and go over it together. Tell me what you think works about it." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't need anybody outside of me to tell me that. Whew, I got that done. What's next? Without ever enjoying what's been accomplished. We've got one plate spinning, but there's a bunch of others that need our attention. And so we immediately get up to do the next thing. Yet at the end of the day, God was able to rest, to enjoy what he had done, to celebrate all he had created. I think the struggle for many of us, and maybe I should just say the struggle for me with this sometimes, is that we have this image of a very demanding God who's never pleased. A God who wants, that's Michelangelo's God, by the way, a God who wants us busy, 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 24/7, always working, always doing, always serving, always going, 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 trying to please this. I say this because of my, in spite of all of my theological training, my study, my trying to understand who God is in Scripture, I still find myself operating out of this idea of who God is from time to time. And ironically, it happened this week. I was writing devotions and a sermon on rest, and I was swamped. I was so busy. And Friday, it all came crashing down. You know, the fourth ball was thrown to me, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I wrote this in my journal. See if you can resonate or if I'm just weird. My prayer life has been a bit rushed this week. So I go through this whole thing, where I worry God is disappointed in me and won't come through for me. No matter how much I try to shake that idea of God, I just can't seem to. My default always seems to be of a petulant God who throws tantrums when I'm not falling in line. That's where I go sometimes. I don't like it. I have to journal my way out of it. I know better. But that's where I find myself from time to time. Doing for God so that God will in turn do for me. And then I bump into the gospel lesson for this morning. Those of you who have been to church for a long time, you know this. You know, come with me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, when Jesus says this to his disciples, he's saying it directly to me on Friday morning. Relax. It's all right. God's with you even in your busyness. You don't have to do to make God pleased. God loves you right now. I love the way the message renders it. Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll soon recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In Jesus, in knowing him, following him, walking with him, and working with him, we find real rest. Because we can be still and can truly live because we know he's with us every moment. We don't need to stay busy to stay numb. The author who talked about our busyness keeping us safe and numb concludes her blog post with this. Today, I am dropping the drug and the defense, and I'll do my best to do the same tomorrow. Today, I'm shooting for higher than numb and safe and protected by excuses. I want to be present and whole and have nothing to hide. No excuses to be made. Because I did my best, and because that's enough. Today I want to communicate to my kids through my words and my actions that we don't always have to be hustling, plates don't always have to be spinning, and balls don't always have to be in the air. You know, there are a lot of us who've gotten really, really good at this. We can even talk and juggle at the same time. But you know what? We're tired. Really, really tired. And Jesus says, come to me if you're worn out and if you're tired, and I will give you rest. Let's pray together. God, so many of us in this room, we're tired. We've been working, moving, juggling, plate spinning, keeping everything afloat for a really long time. And these words that you offer us, they feel so right, but they're really scary. Because we're used to busy. And not really sure what to do if we stop. Remind us, O God, that you call us to periods of rest. Not to neglect that which we have to do, but to pause, to enjoy, to be renewed and restored, and to feel that sense of accomplishment. Give us time, O God, to reflect and hear our inner voice. And to hear you speak to us. God, we come here this morning in worship. And we enjoy this time apart. This time of rest. Yet, God, we know that we have friends and family members that are in need all around us. We have parents who are weak and in need of our care. We have friends who are grieving over the loss of a loved one. We have illness that fills our mind, and others among us who are awaiting diagnoses from the doctor and don't know what to expect. We have anxiety over children and work and money and so much else. Yet, God, we know that You walk with us. We pray this morning, O God, that we might know Your rest, that real rest, with a light yoke and an easy burden. Send us forth from this place, O God, not only to experience Your rest, but to share it with the world around us. May we represent Your peace and Your strength and Your calm in the midst of our busy, busy world. Thank You for all You have given us. Thank You for the work to which You call us. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.